The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. In John, chapter number 1, one of the great passages of Scripture, we'll read a few verses here and then we'll go to 1 John, chapter 1, written by the same human author, written by the same author, the Holy Spirit. And we'll be looking at some of these things concerning the Word made flesh, and that is none other than Jesus Christ. The Word of God becoming flesh, becoming man. We have just celebrated the Christmas day, but really we can celebrate that any time to think about the flesh that became, was becoming man, and God coming upon this world that we might have eternal life. So if you would read with me in John chapter number 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man, and cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice there, the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory. Look in 1 John, chapter number 1. We'll read about four verses here. 1 John, chapter number 1. Over right next to the end of the Bible, right before Jude and Revelation. You have these words written by the same apostle. And he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and that we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye might also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." These verses go hand in hand with each other. The Gospel of John and the book of 1 John. As John is dealing with the subject, the Word of God, he's not dealing with the written Word, he's dealing with the living Word. He's not dealing with that which is written on paper and words that we can read, but he's dealing with the Word of God, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are here this morning because of Him. We have what we have in our life. We have all things that we have are because of Him. As we read the Bibles and as we go through things week after week, we have much to be said about Jesus Christ. And I doubt very seriously that we could ever take care of all the things that would be rightfully said, all the things that was manifested in His life. We cannot in our lifetime go over all of those to realize what all things He did. But I do know that one thing He did was for our good, and that thing was to die upon Calvary. That's why Jesus came. That's why He was birthed. That's why He lived the life that He lived, a perfect life, and therefore died upon Calvary that we might live through His name. I want to just take a few minutes this morning and look once again at the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think you can preach too much about Him. I don't think you can say too many words concerning Him. I don't think you can have too many messages on Him. Because this is the reason for all that we have, and He is the purpose for us being here. Of all eternity, He is that central figure that is the Son of God. There is none before Him, there is none like Him. There is none that is beside Him. There is none after Him. And certainly there will be none ever equal to Him. He is the one and only that is given to us whereby that we can have life. And He is as He is. And He is the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 John, as we read these first four verses, we find that He was manifested for us. And the Scripture says, John says, we knew Him. You see, we are given here a personal account of an eyewitness of a man that was living at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was he living at the same time, but he was living with the Lord and living as an apostle, as a believer of Jesus Christ. And as he walked and talked, and as those apostles served the Lord and served people around them, John gives us these words here. Says, we have looked upon him, we have heard him, we have seen him with our own eyes, we've handled him, and he is the word of life. I'm glad this morning he is the word that gives life. Life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I know there's a lot of people today that they'll tell you that they are Christian. And they'll say what, if you'll ask them what faith or what religion they are, they say we're Christian. But there's more to it than just saying a word. There's more to it than just writing down a title that we attain or a title that we look to. The word Christian means that we are to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can be a Christian in the right respect concerning us and God is to have accepted and believed upon Him and trusted Him as our personal Savior. These apostles said, we heard Him. We heard the words that He said. The Scripture says that never a man spake like this man. And so as Jesus spoke and as He gave words, they said, we listened to Him and we heard Him. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, in whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You and I this morning, if we are believers, it's because we heard the word of truth. It's because we heard the word of God, the message. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. And so here Paul says, as he wrote to the people of Ephesus, he said, we heard the word of truth. And that word of truth made a difference in their life. And I'm glad, thank God, it can make a difference in my life and did make a difference and is continuing to make a difference. And you this morning also, the word of life can make a difference in your life. And so the Scripture says, we heard Him. They said, we have looked upon Him. We saw Him. We saw what He did. And we know what has happened and taken place. The Bible tells us that they said they had handled Him. Behold, my hands and my feet. The Scripture tells us in Luke chapter number 24, they were to look upon Him, they were to see Him, and to recognize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But in John chapter 1, I believe probably is the most descriptive terms that we have anywhere in the Scripture concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It is some things that are said here that's not said anywhere else. And I want us to look this morning at John chapter 1 and deal with this subject or this topic. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You and I this morning, we are sitting in a congregation beside each other or closely in the same proximity as someone else, and we are dwelling together. And here we find that the Apostle John tells us in verse number 14 that the Word, which has already been established, that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And so we know here in verse 14 that John is talking about none other than Jesus Christ. He is that Word that was in the beginning. He was that Word that was from eternity past to eternity future and all the things in between. He is the Word. And John says, we beheld Him. The Word of God was made, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And so John says, I'm telling you something that I know firsthand. You see, an eyewitness report is far better than a secondhand report. If somebody sees something, they see it and they can testify to the fact of what they saw. But now if I tell someone, then that becomes just hearsay. That's just something you hear. But John said, we saw Him. John said, we handled Him. John said, we talked to Him. John said, we beheld His glory. And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. John says we were together in all these things. And so I believe John knew pretty well what he was talking about when he was talking about Jesus Christ, because they had beholden Him. They looked upon Him. Verse number 1, verse number 2, we find His person. We see Christ as God. Verse number 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Here we find that Christ and God are one and the same. And here we find His person. Jesus tells us in verse number 58 of John chapter number 8, "Verily I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And Jesus, in that statement, said, "I have always been." You're not going to find a time when really He was and He was not. You're not going to find a time when there was not the Son of God. Jesus did not become the Son of God in the Bethlehem stable as He was laid in the manger. Jesus was always the Son of God, but He was manifest unto us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us as God incarnate, or God in the flesh. And God talked to Moses. Moses said, "Who can I tell that is sending me?" And God spoke to him, and God said, "You just tell them, I am sent you." Now, in our Western world, in our Western language, that's a sort of a complicated thought. When I was a child, I'd hear that verse, and I'd say, "What in the world does that mean?" But we understand that the Scripture tells us that God always is. And so God said to Abraham, "You just tell them, I am sent you." That means I'm God. Always have been, always will be. And we find that His person is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am comes from that root word, means to exist, continually to exist. And it means that there cannot be any stopping or any starting of that. Jesus in His person has always been. Thank God we have a Savior that didn't come about as an afterthought. He was a lamb slain before the very foundation of the world, and we have life in His name because of who He was. The person of Jesus Christ. In verse number 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Well, here we find His power. The Scripture tells us when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, He's a powerful individual. And John declares to us, now remember John's writing about what he saw. John's writing about what he had heard. He's writing about what he had handled. And he said, "This is the Word, and in the beginning was with God, and in the beginning was God." And all of a sudden he says, all things were made by Him. I'm glad, thank God, we have a Lord, we have a Savior that's all-powerful. He's the Almighty One. He is the God of heaven and earth. And He is the One that is the creator of everything. You don't take my word for it. Just take the Word of God. Take the message of the Scripture. In the beginning, God, that's Him. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's our Lord. The Bible says in Psalm number 33 and verse number 6, "By the Word of the Lord," that's Him, "by the Word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of Him, the breath of His mouth." That's Him. Everything that was made by Him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17. "For by Him," guess what? That's Him. "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." All things were created, guess what? By Him. And for who? Him. What does it go on to say? "And all things consist." For who? For Him. Everything is by and for and because of this Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Here we find His power. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 2. "Hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son." Guess what? That's Him. "He has spoken to us in these last days by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom," that's Him, "that He," that's Him, "made the worlds." Everything, Creator. He's the powerful God. And I'm thankful today that I know Him. If you're a child of God, you know Him. You don't just know about Him. Now, there's a lot of people that know about Him. I can put a lot of facts down about George Washington, but I didn't know him. I can put a lot of facts down about Abraham Lincoln that I had to learn. I didn't want to learn them when I had to, but I can put them down. I can refresh on them. I know some things about him, but I don't know him. But I can tell you a lot of things about Jay Clark because I know him, or George, or whoever, because I know you. That's first-hand knowledge. Well, I'm glad this morning I can tell you a whole lot of things about him. Why? Because I know him. I know him through the Word of God. I know him through the Scripture. And by him all things consist. We are here this morning, I believe, by just the divine presence and knowledge that God permitted us to breathe His air. We don't have to be here this morning, but God's permitted us. When my cousin went into surgery, I talked to him 2 days before that. He said, "Well, Lawrence, they tell me I'm sick." He said, "I don't feel like it." I made a statement I wish now I had not made. I said, "Well, probably when it's all over, you'll know that you're sick." But everything that we have this morning is because of Him. It's a strange thing that a person can go into a surgery and look like everything's fine. I mean, he's been here, he's sung here, he's been here a number of times. Strong, healthy, tall, slender young man. I say that because he's my age. And just a few months ago, something got out of rhythm. Brother Jay knows about that. So they had to put him in and shock him, put the heart back into rhythm, and in the process of doing that, they found out he had an aneurysm in the aorta of his heart. He goes into surgery, everything's well. Comes out of surgery, everything fine. And they pull the breathing tube out, and he has a heart attack. That's all unexpected. But you know what? We still consist by the power of God. It didn't take God by surprise or shock. And a little bit later, they got things well. They said there really wasn't a whole lot of problem with the heart. Everything's working fine. So they're going to get him up to walking. And he throws a clot and goes to they say it's a very deep where the clot affected. But we're here by His power. Only God knows what's lurking in the body of this person. Only God knows what's working in your life, in your heart, in your body, that can change the whole outlook of time. And it might change the whole outlook of eternity. That's why we have to be ready to meet this one that dwells among us. That's why we don't know from one day to the next where we're going to be. We may be in our home, we may be doing well, and in a moment, we can be in eternity. That's how important it is to know where you're going to spend eternity. I would not put my eternity, I would not base my eternity on what somebody told me. You better get where you know you met Him. I know Baptist preachers are notorious for telling us and telling people, "Oh, you're okay because you did this or you did that." There's nobody on this side of God's heaven that knows what you did when you met the Lord. That's why the Bible says we are to examine ourselves, see if we be in the faith. Nothing wrong with looking. Nothing wrong with examining. Because in that examination, we find out sometimes some problems. He is the powerful Christ. He's powerful enough to create the world and all the galaxies that are out there that cannot be numbered and cannot even be reached by this largest telescope there is. The vast spaces out there. But God made them, Jesus Christ, the one that dwelt among us. He's one that put them into existence. And by Him all things consist. Now we either have to believe that or don't believe it. No in between ground. All things consist because of Him. That's His power. And John said, we looked at it. We handled Him. We knew Him. Verse 4 and 5. In Him was life. And the life was seen, or was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Here's the purpose of the Son of God. His purpose was to give the very breath and the life of God to those that would come unto Him. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Such plain scriptures. You either believe and have life, or you do not believe and you have not life. But Jesus came, and His purpose was that we might see the light. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek the wanderer, came to find those that were lost, and the sheep that had gone astray. Jesus came to get him into the fold. That's why He came, the purpose. That they might see and have light and have life. John chapter 5 and verse 44 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. That's the purpose of the Son of God. John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. Thank God if you have the Son of God, you have life. You're going to spend eternity. But on the other side of it, he that hath not the Son hath not life. Without Him there is no life. Without Him no life could possibly exist. We're here by the promise of the Lord. We see Christ in verse 6 through 9. As this light, John the Baptist was sent from God. He wasn't the light, but he was to show them to the light. He was to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time a preacher that's worth anything stands behind the pulpit, he's to point people to the Lord. It doesn't matter what we do tomorrow, the next day. It doesn't matter our little programs that we have and our cantatas and all those things are well and good. But that's not the purpose of the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is to point people to the Son of God that John said, we beheld His glory. We handled Him. We touched Him. He was the Word that was made flesh. That's what we just celebrated yesterday. The Son of God becoming flesh. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. But He became flesh one day. And He might take away our sin. We see Him as light. That light that is given to the men if they will but believe. 1 John 1:5, the next verse after we read this morning says, this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. God is light. No darkness. Everything is light and visible with the Lord. And He wants to come and we be saved and come and dwell in our hearts and our lives. So John says, this Word that was made flesh dwells among us. We beheld Him. We looked upon Him. It's full of grace and truth. And he says, we touched Him, we handled Him, we talked with Him. We find that He is our Savior. in verses 10 through 14. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. Let's read those words again. Verse number 10, John chapter 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. There's that creation. And the world knew Him not. What a sad thought it is, what a sad knowledge it is to have Jesus Christ, the Creator of the world, and yet the world didn't even know Him. Verse 11 says, He came into His own received Him not. Sad commentary on the Jew. He came to His own people, but yet they would not receive Him. But He goes on, and thank God, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You and I this morning, we are children of God because of the power of God. Because He is our Savior. If we are going to heaven, it's going to be through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the world tells you. It doesn't matter what society tells you or teaches you. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And by the way, that's not just in a simple prayer. It's through Him. I'm afraid salvation is simple. Salvation is easy. But salvation is that which we have to follow the plan that God gives us, or it's deceiving. There's a lot of people this morning that have their names on church rolls. And they've done everything that they've been told to do, but they're not saved. Why is that? It's because they haven't done what God says. They've listened to everybody else, but they've not listened to what God says. Salvation is an encounter with the Lord. Salvation is the time we meet God and we know the... We're not educated into salvation. We don't... Just because we answer all the questions right, that doesn't make us saved. Baptist preachers are not popes. We don't pronounce people saved and lost. The only one who can do that is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And so we find that John says here that He is our Savior. As many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become what? Sons of God, children of God. He's our Savior. They believe on His name. In verse 13, they were not born of the flesh. They weren't born of the will of man. But they were born of God. And the Word was made flesh. Verse number 13 tells us that birth is not in the hand of men. And neither should the abortion of life be in the hand of men. Children are born not of their own will. Men and women bring children into the world, but God underlying gives them life, and He gives them the soul, and God puts within them their life. They weren't born of their own flesh and their own way and their own will. They're born of God. And Jesus came to die upon the cross of Calvary, and everyone that's ever been born could have opportunity to go to heaven. What a wonderful Savior we have. Now man in his depraved state has so depleted the Word of God. Man in his ungodly ways and thoughts have deceived people in such a way that now everybody thinks they're going to heaven just because they're religious. Well, religion don't take you to heaven. Jesus takes you to heaven. Somebody told me one time, said, well, you just believe only Baptists going to heaven? No, I don't believe a lot of them going. Only one I know about is this one right here. It doesn't matter what we call ourselves, but we better be called a Christian by God. It doesn't matter what little tag we put upon us and what man puts around us. We better know that it's through Him. We better know it's because of Him. We better know it's by Him. And by the way, if God saves you, He'll change you. The Bible says, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. He makes us a new creature. Well, how's that? I don't understand that. How do you become a new creature? Well, Nicodemus didn't understand being born again. He said, do I have to go back to the mother's womb and be born again? No, I'm talking about a spiritual birth, Nicodemus. That which is of flesh is flesh. That's one birth, but there's another birth, and that birth is spiritual. That birth is a spiritual birth that brings us into relationship with the God of heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we find that these things are given that we might have life. That's why Jesus came. That's why He was made flesh and dwelt among us. May God help us to believe upon Him. It's not enough just to be called something. It's not enough to have a tag or a title. But it is something to have in your heart. To have a knowledge. To have a faith. And I believe Him. Old things pass away. All things become new. A new creature. What does that mean? That means He begins to work on us. Those things that we used to not like, we like. Those things that we didn't want to do, now we want to do. And those things that we thoroughly enjoyed doing, all of a sudden we find out we don't like them so much. What is it? God's working on us. We're growing in the grace of the Lord and the knowledge of God. And He's still working on every one of us. He's dealing in our hearts for whatever level we might be in His life. And on spirituality, He deals with us where we are. We deal with people where we think they ought to be. How many people I've heard say, well, that young boy got saved, he's doing good, he'll probably be a preacher. We don't have any idea what God's going to do with a young boy or young girl. It's not our place. Our place is to point them to Calvary. It's our place to point them to the Lord, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory of grace and truth. That's our job. That's our task as a believer, to do the very same thing. Telling people Jesus saves. And as we come closer and draw more near to the coming of our Lord, I believe that ought to be the story that we have. Jesus saves. Everything else, second rate, second place. Because if He has not saved us, nothing else matters. If we have not trusted Him, it doesn't matter where we go to church. If we haven't trusted Him, it doesn't matter how we die. If we have not trusted Him, it doesn't matter how we live. Because if we have not trusted Him, none of those things make any difference. But when you're saved, then it does. And then it does matter where you go, what you do, how you live. Because He works in our heart. Gives us life and light. Let's stand together this morning.